Tell Daddy, okay?
Meow!
Meow. Georgie ended the call, then fidgeted with her phone for a minute, flipping through a few photos of the girls. She hated talking to them on the phone. It made them feel farther away, and it made her feel helpless. Like even if she heard something bad happening, there'd be nothing she could do to stop it. One time, Georgie had called home from the freeway, and all she could do was listen while Alice dropped the phone in her cereal bowl, then tried to decide whether to pick it up. Plus, the girls' voices were higher on the phone. They sounded younger, and Georgie could hear their every breath. It just always made her realize that she was missing them, actually missing them, that they kept on growing and changing when she wasn't there. If Georgie didn't talk to her kids all day, it was easier to pretend like their whole world froze in place while she was at work. She called them every day, usually twice. Georgie and Seth and Scotty worked on passing time long after dark. They worked until Scotty fell asleep with his head tipped back over the edge of his chair, his mouth hanging open. Seth wanted to leave him like that. At least we'll know he'll be here on time tomorrow. But Georgie took pity on him. She poured 3 packets of Sweet'n'Low into Scotty's mouth, and he woke up sneezing. Then she made him drink half a can of flat Diet Coke to perk him up before he drove home. She and Seth stayed and stared at the whiteboard for a while after Scotty left. They'd mostly worked on characters today, drawing a sprawled-out family tree showing how everyone on the show was connected and brainstorming stories that could branch out from each of them. A lot of what they were doing was just remembering all the ideas they'd come up with over the years, some of which had definitely expired. Chloe decides to be emo, but never figures out what it means. Adam is overly defensive of Monica Lewinsky. They'd been talking about these characters for so long, Georgie could see them in her head. She could do all their voices. Seth pulled down a few note cards they'd taped to the wall. It's still good, right? Inherently? The show? It's funny?
I think so, Georgie said. We're not moving as fast as we should be.
We never are. We'll get there.
Yeah. She rubbed her eyes. When she looked up again, Seth was smiling his just-for-her smile. It was smaller than the ones he gave everyone else. More eyes, less teeth.
Go home, he said. Get some sleep. You still look exhausted.
She was. So she did. Chapter 5. When Georgie got home, the front door was locked. She fumbled for a minute with her keys. She'd left a few of the lights on, so the house wasn't dark. It just felt dark. Georgie realized she was tiptoeing. She cleared her throat.
It's just me, she said out loud, to prove that she could.
She tried to remember the last time she'd come home to an empty house, and couldn't. Not this house. They'd moved out to Calabasas when Georgie was pregnant with Numi. Their old house, a squat, mint-green bungalow in Silver Lake, only had 2 bedrooms, and there were more tattoo parlors and karaoke bars in their neighborhood than kids. Georgie missed it. Not the tattoo parlors and the karaoke bars. She and Neil never went out much, even before Allison knew me. But she missed the house. How small it was. How close. She missed the scrubby excuse for a front yard and the crooked jacaranda tree that used to drop sticky purple flowers onto her old Jetta every spring. She and Neil had decorated that house together. They'd gone to the hardware store every weekend for a year to argue about paint. Georgie would always choose the most saturated color on the card.
You can't always pick the bottom color, Neil would say.
But the bottom color makes all the other colors look dull.
You're looking at them wrong.
How is that possible? Neil always let Georgie win. Their house in Silver Lake looked like Rainbow Bright lived there, and you could tell which walls Georgie had painted because she was lousy at edges and corners. They both had jobs then. Neil worked weekends, so there were plenty of days and nights when Georgie had their old house to herself. She'd watch TV shows that Neil would never watch with her, everything on the WB. And then, when he got home, he'd climb over her on the couch and bother her until it was time to make dinner. That was back when Georgie still pretended to help, when she'd hang out in the kitchen with him and drink wine while she watched him slice vegetables. "You could do this for a living," she'd say. "You could cut tomatoes in a tomato-cutting commercial. That's how good you are." Then Neil would chop extra loudly and wave the knife over the tomato slices with a flourish. "I'm serious. You could be an Iron Chef."
That or work at Applebee's.
Georgie had a regular spot on the kitchen counter, and Neil worked around it. He'd pour her too much wine and feed her pieces of things before the rest of dinner was ready, blowing on the fork until the bite was cool enough. How many years ago was that? 8? 10? Georgie dropped her phone and keys onto the coffee table on a stack of Numi's picture books and wandered into the kitchen. The plate of salmon stir-fry that Neil had made 2 nights ago was still in the refrigerator. She hadn't felt like eating it then, even though she'd been starving. She didn't bother to heat it up now, just grabbed a fork and brought it out to the living room, sitting on the couch and turning on the TV for light. There were 2 new episodes of Jeffed Up on the DVR, a rerun, and an hour-long Christmas special. The Christmas special had been a pain in the ass to film. The script had Jeff and Trev both secretly bonding with a stray dog they were pretending to hate. Jeff would kick the dog out of the house, then Trev would let the dog in, then Jeff would go looking for it, trying to sneak it in himself, then he'd get caught and kick it out again. The laugh track had more awes than laughs, and Georgie could tell the sound guy had just used the same aw over and over. The dog was a mistake. Jeff German had insisted they use his dog, an ancient beagle that couldn't take direction and that nobody else was allowed to touch. Then it turned out that the kid who played Trev was allergic to dogs, and his mom followed him around with an epinephrine pen the whole day. He didn't end up needing it, but his eyes got all runny and puffy. "It's fine," Seth said. "It looks like he's been crying." "Let's get rid of the dog," Georgie said. "Let's make it something else."
"You just don't like dogs. What do you want, a cat?"
"I was thinking an orphan."
"Fuck no, Georgie. The network will make us keep it."
Normally, Georgie would text back and forth with Seth while they watched Jeffed Up, but her phone was plugged in on the other side of the room, and she didn't feel like getting up. She'd get up if Neil called, which wasn't likely, not this late. Neil hadn't called her back all day. Georgie had tried him 6 times since lunch, and every time, the call went to voicemail. She'd tried his mom's house, too, but got a busy signal. It had been so long since Georgie had heard an actual busy signal, it kind of confused her. She set her empty plate on the coffee table and pulled the Afghan up over her shoulders. "Aww," the TV audience said. Georgie looked up at the ceiling. Neil had painted a spray of flowers there. They started at one corner, then wound down onto the wall. Blue with white starbursts. She forgot what they were called. Neil had picked out this house in Calabasas. He liked the porch and the yard, the wide open kitchen, the fact that it had a real second floor and an attic. Their house in Silver Lake was 1.5 stories, with the bedroom up in the half. Neil hated the way you could hear the rain hitting the roof at night. Georgie was 5 months pregnant when they moved in, so she couldn't help paint. Fumes. Also, she and Seth were working as showrunners by then, so her hours were crazy. And also, she felt like garbage. She felt like garbage that whole pregnancy. She gained more weight with Numi. She had more pain. Her fingers got so swollen and purple that she'd stare at them while she typed, imagining she was Violet Beauregard, imagining that Seth was going to have to roll her out of the writer's room when she went into labor. She didn't end up going into labor. Georgie was really good at getting pregnant, but not so good at getting the babies out. She never had a real contraction with either of the girls. Georgie had been relieved when Neil started painting the walls without her. At first, he chose colors from the bottom of the paint strip. There were a few Georgie bright rooms. But mostly, this house was white, or pale yellow, or watery blue. He'd started painting murals a few years ago, when Numi grew out of her baby sling and was okay playing with Alice on the floor. Georgie came home one night and found a willow tree curling out of her closet. Neil painted landscapes and seascapes. Skyscapes. Was there such a thing? He painted murals all over the house, never finishing one before starting another. Georgie didn't ask why. Neil didn't like to be asked things. It made his jaw tense. He'd give you a flippant answer, like whatever you were asking, it wasn't any of your business. Like nothing was anyone's business. Like nobody should ask questions that didn't absolutely need to be answered. Georgie had gotten really good over the years at not asking questions. Sometimes she didn't even realize she wasn't doing it. This house really was much nicer than their old house. Neil was better at picking out paint and arranging furniture than Georgie had ever been. Plus, their laundry actually got done now that he did it. "It never ends," he'd say. "We could hire someone," Georgie would offer. "We don't need to hire someone." Their neighbors had a nanny and a cleaning lady, a lawn guy, a pool guy, and a dog groomer who made house calls. Neil hated them. "You shouldn't need a staff of people larger than your own family. We don't live in a manor."
"Like the Malfoys," Alice said, "with house elves."
Neil was reading her the Harry Potter books. Neil mowed their lawn. In worn-out cargo pants and t-shirts that he'd had since high school. He always smelled like sunblock, because without it, he'd immediately burn. Even with the sunblock, the back of his neck was stained red. Neil trimmed the trees. Neil kept tulip bulbs in the refrigerator and sketched garden plans on the back of Whole Foods receipts. He'd pore over seed catalogs in bed and make Georgie choose which plants she liked best. "Purple eggplant or white eggplant?" he'd asked her last summer. "How can you have a white eggplant? That's like purple green beans."
"There are purple green beans and yellow oranges."
"Stop, you're blowing my mind."
"Oh, I'll blow your mind, girly."
"Are you flirting with me?" He'd turned to her then, pen cap in mouth, and cocked his head.
"Yeah, I think so."
Georgie looked down at her old sweatshirt, at her threadbare yoga pants. "This is what does it for you?" Neil smiled most of a smile, and the cap fell out of his mouth.
"So far."
"Neil." She'd call him tomorrow morning. She'd get through to him this time. This had just been a weird couple of days. Georgie was busy, and Neil was busy, and time zones weren't on their side. And he was pissed with her. She'd make it better. She didn't blame him. Everything would be better in the morning. Morning glories, Georgie thought to herself, just before she fell asleep. Friday, December 20th, 2013. Chapter 6. One missed call. Fuck, fuck, fuck. Georgie'd woken up on the couch this morning a half hour after her alarm would have gone off if she'd remembered to set it. She ran upstairs to take a shower, then threw on a new pair of jeans and the Metallica t-shirt. It smelled more like Neil than like Georgie. When she went to grab her phone on the way out, she saw the text alert. One missed call. An emergency contact. That's what Neil was filed under in Georgie's contacts, just in case. Of something. There was a voicemail, too. She hit play, but Neil hadn't left anything. Just a half second of silence. He must have called while she was in the shower. Georgie called right back, got Neil's voicemail, and started talking as soon as she heard the beep. "Hi," she said. "It's me. I just missed your call, but I won't miss it again. Call me. Call me whenever. You won't be interrupting anything." As soon as she hung up, she felt like an idiot, because of course he'd be interrupting something. That's why Georgie stayed in L.A., because she couldn't be interrupted. Fuck. Georgie wasn't any good that morning. Seth was pretending not to notice. He was also pretending not to notice her Metallica t-shirt.
"It feels weird to be writing a different show in here," Scotty said, looking around the writer's room. "It's like we're doing it in our parents' bed."
He was sitting in his usual spot at the far end of the conference table, even though there were 8 empty chairs closer to Seth and Georgie.
"I wish the front desk girl was here to make us coffee. Georgie, do you know how to make coffee?"
"Are you kidding me?"
Scotty rolled his eyes. "I didn't mean that in a sexist way. I just genuinely don't know how to turn on the coffee machine. You'd think they'd make that part obvious."
"Well, I don't know either," she said. Seth looked up at Scotty over his laptop.
"Why don't you go get us coffee?" he said. "We won't need any fart jokes for at least a half hour."
"Fuck you," Scotty said. He frowned at the framed Jeffed Up poster on the wall.
"It's kind of like we're doing it in Jeff German's bed."
"Nobody's doing it," Georgie said. "Go get us coffee."
Scotty stood up. "I hate leaving you guys alone. You forget that I exist." "I haven't forgotten you," Seth said, picking up his cell phone. "I'm texting you our orders."
As soon as Scotty was gone, Seth wheeled his chair into Georgie's and leaned against her armrest.
"I've seen you work the coffee maker."
"It's the principle of the thing," she said.
"Does that mean you won't man the whiteboard either?"
"I'm not your secretary."
"Yeah, but you don't trust Scotty to take notes, and you can't read my handwriting."
Georgie stood up, reluctantly, found a dry erase marker, and started updating their progress on the whiteboard. She actually liked being the one who wrote things down. It was like being the decision maker. Back in college, Georgie would type while Seth swanned around the Spoon offices, thinking out loud. Then he'd be all righteous indignation when the magazine came back from the presses.
"Georgie, where's my Unabomber joke?"
"Who can be sure? Probably holed up in Montana."
"That was a great joke that you cut."
"It was a joke? See, it'd be a lot easier for me if you made your jokes funny. Then I wouldn't get so confused." By junior year, Georgie and Seth were writing a weekly column together on page 2 of The Spoon. Georgie was finally starting to feel like she belonged on staff, like she was good enough. She shared a desk with Seth then, too. That's when they first got used to it. Seth liked to have Georgie close enough that he could pull her hair, and Georgie liked having Seth close enough to kick.
"Shit, Georgie, that really hurt. You're wearing Doc Martens."
Georgie remembered the Unabomber tantrum because they were in the middle of it the first time she saw Neil down at the Spoon. Seth was telling her that he wanted their column to be more political, more wry.
"I can pull off wry, Georgie. Don't tell me I..."
"Who was that?" she interrupted him.
"Who?"
"That guy who just walked into the production room." Seth leaned back to see past her.
"Which one?"
"Blue sweatshirt."
"Oh."
He sat up again.
"That's the cartoon hobbit. You don't know the cartoon hobbit?"
"No. Why do you call him that?"
"Because he does the thing. You know, the cartoon, at the back of the paper."
Seth had a copy of The Spoon and was writing his Unabomber joke in the margin of their column.
One down, 4,099 copies to go.
That's who writes Stop the Sun? The comic strip?
Writes, draws, scrawls.
That's the funniest part of the magazine.
No, Georgie, we're the funniest part of the magazine.
That's Neil Grafton?
She was trying to look into the production room without turning her head.
Indeed.
Why haven't I seen him down here before?
Seth looked at her and lowered an eyebrow suspiciously.
I don't know. He's not much of a people person.
You've met him?
Do you have a crush on the cartoon Hobbit?
I've barely even seen him, she said. I just think he's crazy talented. I thought Stop the Sun was syndicated. Why do you call him the Hobbit?
Because he's short and fat and hobbity.
He's not fat. You've barely even seen him.
Seth reached over Georgie to grab her copy of The Spoon and started writing his joke on the inside cover. Georgie tipped back in her chair and peeked into the production room. She could just see Neil hunched over a drafting table, half obscured by a pole.
We are the funniest thing in the magazine, Seth mumbled.
Scotty brought back coffee, but it didn't help. Georgie had a headache and a stomach ache, and her hair still smelled like Heather's sugary shampoo, even though she'd washed it again. She told herself she was just tired, but it didn't feel like tired. It felt like scared, which didn't make any sense. Nothing was wrong. Nothing was coming. She hadn't talked to Neil for 2.5 days. And they'd never gone this long without talking, not since they'd met. Well, practically not since they'd met. It's not that things were always... What word was she looking for? Hunky-dory? Smooth? Happy? It's not that things were always easy between Georgie and Neil. Sometimes, even when they were talking, they weren't really talking. Sometimes they were just negotiating each other, keeping each other posted. But it had never been like this before. Radio silence. There had always been his voice. Georgie would feel better if she could just hear Neil's voice. When Seth ran out to get lunch, she holed up in their office to try Neil again. She dialed his cell number and waited, tapping her fingers on her desk.
Hello?
Someone said doubtfully, like the person wasn't actually sure that this was a phone and that she was indeed answering it. Neil's mom.
Margaret?
Hey, it's Georgie.
Georgie, hi there. I wasn't sure if the phone was ringing or if this was an iPod. I thought I might be answering an iPod.
I'm glad you risked it. How are you?
You know, Naomi was watching TV on this thing earlier, in the same room as a perfectly good television. We're living in the future, I guess. It's not even really shaped like a phone, is it? More like a deck of cards.
Margaret was the only person who called Numi by her given name. It always made Georgie wince, even though Georgie was the one who'd named her.
I guess you're right, Georgie said. I've never thought about it. How are you, Margaret?
Sorry I called so late the other night.
Georgie, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Because I don't know where the microphone is. This phone is so small.
It's small, you're right.
Do I hold it up to my ear or my mouth?
Georgie had to think about that, even though she was talking on the same style of phone.
Your ear, I guess. My cell phone flips open. It seems more like a real phone.
I think your mother has Asperger's, Georgie had said to Neil.
They didn't get Asperger's in the 50s.
I'm just saying maybe she's on the spectrum.
She's just a math teacher.
Margaret?
Georgie forced herself to smile, hoping it would make her sound less impatient.
Is Neil around?
He is. Did you want to talk to him?
That would be great. Yes, thank you.
He just took the girls over to Dawn's. She's got a cockatiel, you know, and she thought the girls might like to see it.
Dawn, Georgie said. Dawn, the girl next door. The literal girl next door. Dawn, Neil's ex-almost fiance. It shouldn't count if there was never a ring, right? If it was just a summer vacation verbal agreement. God. And country. And fuck. Why couldn't Neil have a string of ex-girlfriends? Girls that he'd talked to, girls that he'd dated, girls he'd used for sex, then felt bad about later. Why did he just have to have Dawn? Dawn always came by Neil's mom's house to say hi when Georgie and Neil were in town. She lived next door and took care of her parents. Dawn had pretty brown eyes and smooth brown hair. She was a nurse. She was divorced. She brought the kids stuffed animals that made it back to California and lived on their beds. Georgie's head hurt. Her hair smelled like poisonous cupcakes.
Amadeus, Margaret said, like she was remembering something.
Sorry? Georgie asked, clearing her throat.
Amadeus, that's Dawn's cockatiel. He's quite a bird.
Maybe you could just tell him that I called. Margaret was quiet for a few seconds, and then,
Oh, you mean Neil?
I do, yeah.
Sure, of course, Georgie. I'll tell him.
Thanks, Margaret. Tell him to call me back any time.
Sure. Oh, wait, before you go, Merry Christmas, Georgie. I hope your new show gets picked up.
Georgie paused and remembered that she really did like Neil's mom. Thanks, Margaret. Merry Christmas. Hug those girls for me.
Georgie, wait, how do I hang up on you?
I'll hang up on you. That'll take care of it.
Okay, thanks.
I'm hanging up now, Margaret. Merry Christmas.
That's funny, right? Seth asked, then repeated a joke for the fourth time. Is it funny, or is it just weird?
Georgie wasn't sure. She was having a hard time staying focused.
I need a break, Scotty said. I can't even see straight. Push through it, Seth ordered. This is where the magic happens. This is where I go get frozen yogurt. All you do is eat. You eat, then you start thinking about the next thing you're going to eat. Eating is the only thing that breaks the monotony, Scotty said.
Seth's eyebrows shot up.
This isn't monotony. This is the fucking dream.
It will be, Scotty said,
when I have some yogurt. Georgie, tell him. No frozen yogurt until he says something funny.
Georgie was slouched down in her chair with her feet up on the table and her eyes closed. Can't talk. Too much magic happening.
Do you want frozen yogurt, Georgie? Scotty asked from the door.
No, thanks. She heard the door close, then felt a pen bounce off her shoulder.
You should take a nap, Seth said.
Hmm.
We need a napping couch. Passing Time is going to have a napping couch. Remember the couch at the Spoon? That was a first-rate napping couch.
Georgie remembered. It was gray velvet and worn smooth on the cushions. If Georgie was sitting on it, Seth would sit down right beside her, even if there was plenty of room, even if there was no room at all. He liked to rest his head in her lap or on her shoulder. If he didn't have a girlfriend, she'd let him. He almost always had a girlfriend. Seth was a relentless flirt, even with Georgie. Maybe especially with Georgie. For the first few months after they met, she found all the attention thrilling. And then, when she realized that Seth flirted with everyone and that he was usually actively chasing another girl, it was heartbreaking. And then it was just noise, like his talking, like his humming. Georgie liked it, even when she wasn't paying attention. Sitting on the napping couch, Seth's head on her shoulder, his wavy cherry wood hair tickling her ear. They were sprawled out on the napping couch the second time Georgie saw Neil. Seth had a girlfriend at the time, leggy, cheekbony, actressy. so he was supporting his own head. Georgie stuck her elbow in his ribs. There he is again.
Ow. Who?
The cartoonist, she said.
The hobbit?
I'm going to go introduce myself.
Why?
Because we work together, Georgie said. It's what people do.
He doesn't work here. He just turns in his cartoons here.
I'm going to introduce myself and tell him how much I like his work.
You'll wish you hadn't, Seth warned. He's a scowler. He's the least friendly hobbit in the Shire.
Stop talking Tolkien at me. All I know is Frodo lives. Seth laid his head on her shoulder. Georgie shrugged him off. I'm going. To introduce myself. She got off the couch.
Fine, he moped. I hope you're very happy together. Cute little hobbit couple with lots of roly-poly hobbit babies.
Georgie turned back to him, but didn't stop walking away. I'm not hobbity.
You're short, Georgie. He spread out across the couch. And round and pleasant-looking. Deal with it.
Georgie turned the corner into the production room and stopped. The writers almost never went back to the production room. The artists hung out back here, and the paste-up people on the nights that the spoon was going to press. Neil was sitting at a drafting table. He had a penciled comic strip laid out in front of him, and he was opening a bottle of India ink. There was a radio somewhere playing the Foo Fighters. Georgie thought about going back to the couch. Hi, she said instead. Neil glanced up at her without lifting his head, then looked back at his comic.
Hi.
He was wearing a black t-shirt under blue flannel, and his hair was dark and short, almost military short. You're Neil, right? He didn't look up again.
Right.
I'm Georgie.
Are you?
Sorry?
Are you really?
He asked. Yes? He nodded.
I thought it was a pen name. Georgie McCool. Sounds like a pen name.
You know my name? Neil finally looked up at her, with round blue eyes and practically his whole head.
Your photo's in the spoon, he said.
Oh. Georgie wasn't usually smooth with guys, but she was usually smoother than this. Right. So are you. I mean your comic strip. I came back to talk to you about your comic. Neil was focused on his page again. He was holding an old-fashioned pen. It looked like a fountain pen with a long nib.
Is there a problem?
No, she said. I just like it. I was going to tell you how much I like it.
Are you still going to?
His eyes met hers for a second, and she thought she might see a smile there. She smiled back. Yeah, I really like it. I think it's the funniest thing in the magazine. She was almost sure Neil was smiling now, but it was just a twitch in his lips.
I don't know,
he said.
People seem to like the horoscopes.
Georgie wrote the horoscopes. In character, sort of. It was hard to explain. Neil knew she wrote the horoscopes. He knew her name. His hands were small, and they moved with complete surety across the paper, leaving a thick, straight line. I didn't know you used real ink, she said. He nodded. Can I watch? He nodded again. Chapter 7. Georgie's mother had spectacular cleavage. Tan, freckled, 10 miles deep. Genetics, her mom said when she caught Georgie looking. Heather shoved a bowl of green beans into Georgie's arm. Were you just staring at mom's breasts? I think so, Georgie said. I'm really tired, and she's kind of begging for it in that shirt. Oh, sure, Heather said. Blame the victim. Not in front of Kendrick, their mom said. You're making him blush. Kendrick smiled down at his spaghetti and shook his head. Her mom had caught Georgie on her cell phone that afternoon while she was waiting for Neil to call.
"Let me make you dinner. I'm worried about you."
"Don't," Georgie had said. "Don't worry." But she'd still agreed to come by after work. Her mom made spaghetti with homemade meatballs and pineapple upside-down cake for dessert, and they'd all waited for Georgie to get there before they started eating, so she didn't feel like she could excuse herself right away to call Neil. It was almost 7:30 already, 9:30 in Omaha. Georgie had tried Neil's cell phone twice on the way here. Her calls went straight to voicemail again, which didn't necessarily mean he was still hanging out with Dawn, but also didn't prove that he wasn't. It was stupid to worry about Dawn. Neil was a teenager when he was with Dawn. But weren't people constantly leaving their spouses the moment their prom dates friended them on Facebook? Plus, Dawn never got old, in any sense of the word. It was always good to see her, and she always looked good. The last time Georgie'd seen Dawn, at Neil's dad's funeral, she looked like she'd never been removed from the package. "Did you talk to the girls today?" her mom asked.
"I talked to them yesterday."
"How are they taking everything?"
"Fine." Georgie choked down half a meatball. "There's not actually anything to take, you know."
"Kids are perceptive, Georgie. They're like dogs." She offered a meatball from her own fork to the pug heaped in her lap. "They know when their people are unhappy."
"I think you may just have reverse anthropomorphized your own grandchildren." Her mom waved her empty fork dismissively. "You know what I mean."
Heather leaned into Georgie and sighed. "Sometimes I feel like her daughter, and sometimes I feel like the dog with the least ribbons." Heather was eating spaghetti too, but out of a restaurant to-go box. Georgie decided not to ask. She glanced up at the clock. 7:45. "You know, I promised I'd call Neil before it gets too late." She promised his voicemail, anyway.
"I'm just going to use the phone in my room, if that's okay."
"But you haven't finished eating," her mom protested. Georgie was already halfway down the hall. "I'll be back." Her heart was beating hard when she got to her room. Was she that out of shape, or just that nervous? She curled her fingers behind the hooks of the yellow phone and sat on the bed, pulling it into her lap and waiting to catch her breath. "Please answer," she thought, picturing Neil's somber blue eyes and his stern jaw, picturing his strong, pale face. "Please, I just really need to hear your voice right now." She started dialing his cell, then hung up and tried the landline. Maybe Margaret was a better bet to pick up. Their parents' generation still felt morally obligated to answer phones. Georgie listened to it ring, trying to hold down the butterflies in her stomach, trying to crush them, actually, into butterfly bits and pieces.
"Hello?"
"Neil. Finally. Neil, Neil, Neil." The butterflies burst back to life and started fluttering up Georgie's throat. She swallowed. "Hey,
Georgie."
He said it like he was confirming something. Gently confirming. "Hey," she repeated.
"I didn't think you'd call again."
"I told your mom I would. I told you the last time we talked. Why wouldn't I?"
"I don't know. I didn't think you'd call then either."
"I love you," she blurted out.
"What?"
"The last time you hung up before I could tell you that I love you."
"So you called to say you love me?"
Georgie felt so confused. "I called to make sure you got in okay, to see how you are, to see how the girls are." Neil laughed, not in a good way. It was the sound effect his defenses made when they snapped into place.
"The girls," he said. "The girls are fine. Are you talking about Dawn? Because I haven't seen her."
"What? Your mom said you were over there today."
"When did you talk to my mom?"
"Today. She said Dawn was showing you her cockatiel, Amadeus."
Don's cockatiel is named Falco.
Georgie tucked in her chin defensively. Sorry, I'm not an expert on Don's cockatiels.
Neither am I.
She shook her head and took her glasses off, holding her palm against her eye. Neil, look, I'm sorry. This isn't why I called.
Right. You called to tell me that you love me.
Yeah, actually. Yes, I did. I love you.
Well, I love you too. That isn't the problem, Georgie.
His voice was almost a whisper. Georgie whispered too. Neil, I didn't know you were this upset. You should have told me you were this upset before you left. I wouldn't have let you go. I would have come with. He laughed again, and this time it was even worse.
I should have told you,
he hissed.
I did tell you. I said, I can't do this anymore. I said, I love you, but I'm not sure it's enough. I'm not sure it will ever be enough. I said, I don't want to live like this, Georgie. Remember?
Georgie was speechless. She did remember, but...
Just a second, Neil said quietly. I don't want to have this conversation in front of my parents.
What he said next was muffled.
Dad, can you hang this up when I get upstairs?
Sure. Tell your Georgie girl I said hi.
You can tell her yourself. She's right there.
Georgie?
Someone said into the phone. Someone who was not Neil's dad. Who couldn't be. Mr. Grafton?
We're sorry you couldn't come for Christmas this year. We made it snow for you and everything.
I'm sorry I missed it, Georgie said. She must have said it. She heard herself say it.
Well, maybe next year,
he said. He who was not, who could not be Neil's dad, who was dead, who died in a train yard 3 years ago. There was a click, then the hollow sound of another phone on the line.
I got it, Dad, thanks.
See ya, Georgie girl,
Neil's dad said.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, she said, autonomically. There was another click. Georgie sat completely still.
Georgie?
Neil?
Are you okay? Are you crying?
She was crying. I'm really tired. I haven't been sleeping, and Neil, oh my God, I just imagined the strangest thing. I imagined your dad telling me Merry Christmas. Isn't that...
He did tell you Merry Christmas.
She sucked in a breath.
Georgie?
I don't think I should be talking right now.
Georgie, wait.
I can't talk right now, Neil. I have to go. She slammed the phone down onto the cradle, looked at it for a second, maybe two, then shoved it away from her. It fell to the ground with a heavy, clanging thump. The receiver went flying into the bedside table. Georgie stared at it. This wasn't right. None of this was right. Neil's dad was dead. Neil always said, I love you, and he knew who the girls were. And especially, Neil's dad was dead. Georgie was... She must be imagining things. Exhausted. She was exhausted. And upset. Too much stress, not enough sleep. Also, maybe someone had drugged her. That was possible. That was more possible than Neil's dad coming back from the dead to wish her Merry Christmas, which didn't just happen. What else hadn't happened today? Had she even gone to work? Had she spent last night on the couch? Had she ever woken up? Wake up. Wake the fuck up, Georgie. Maybe when she woke up, when she really woke up, she'd find Neil lying beside her. Maybe they wouldn't even be fighting. Were they fighting? Maybe in the real world, the waking world, Georgie and Neil never fought. I had a dream that things were just like they are now, she'd say when she woke up, but we weren't happy, and it was Christmas, and you left me. Georgie?
Her mom was calling from the kitchen, unless Georgie was dreaming that, too.
Are you okay?
Her mom shouted.
I'm fine,
Georgie yelled back. Her mom came to her room anyway.
I heard a noise, she said from the doorway.
She looked down at the phone, lying stretched out and off the hook on the floor.
Is everything all right?
Georgie wiped her eyes.
Fine. I'm just...
She shook her head. I don't know. Maybe having a nervous breakdown.
Of course you are, honey. Your husband left you.
He didn't leave me, Georgie said. But maybe he had. Maybe that's why Georgie was falling apart. I think I need to rest.
That's a good idea.
Or maybe I need a drink. Her mom came into the room and picked up the phone, setting it back on the table.
I hardly think you should start drinking.
Had Georgie been drinking already? Had this ever happened before? Was she blacking out?
Do you remember Neil's dad? She asked her mom.
Paul?
Sure. Neil looks just like him.
Looks or looked?
What?
What do you know about Neil's dad? Georgie asked.
What are you talking about? Didn't he have a heart attack?
Yes. Georgie reached out and grabbed her mom's arm. He had a heart attack. Her mom looked significantly more concerned.
Do you think you're having a heart attack?
No, Georgie said. Was she having a heart attack? A stroke, maybe? She smiled and touched her own cheeks. Nothing seemed to be drooping.
No, I just need some rest, I think.
I don't think you should drive home.
I don't think so either.
Okay, her mom studied her.
You'll get through this, Georgie. I thought I'd spend the rest of my life alone after your dad and I split up.
You left him for another guy. Her mom shook her head dismissively.
These feelings aren't rational. There's nothing rational about marriage.
A fatal heart attack, right?
Why are you fixated on Neil's dad?
Poor man. Poor Margaret. I don't know, Georgie said. I just need to rest.
You rest.
Her mom turned off the light on her way out. Georgie lay in the dark for an hour. She cried some more and talked to herself. I'm imagining things. I'm tired. I'm just tired. She closed her eyes and tried to sleep. She opened them again and watched the yellow phone. She thought about going home. She went out and sat in the car for a while. Eventually, she plugged in her cell phone and tried to call Neil. He didn't pick up, because he never fucking picks up. And maybe he had left her. Maybe they were so out of sync that Georgie didn't even recognize when he was actually really leaving her. Maybe he'd already told her he was leaving, and she just hadn't listened. She sat in the car and cried. Then she tried Neil's mom's number, even though it was late. Georgie just needed to talk to him again, normally. She needed to have a normal conversation to reset everything. His mom's line was busy. Maybe his dad had some really important ghost phone calls to make at midnight Central Time. Georgie thought again about trying to sleep. She thought about how all her freaking out was probably making this situation, whatever this situation was, worse. Then she went inside and went through the kitchen cabinets until she found a bottle of creme de menthe, probably left over from the last time her mom made grasshopper pie. Her mom and Kendrick weren't drinkers. Potheads? Possibly, Neil suspected. Georgie drank it straight. It was like getting drunk on syrup. At some point, she must have fallen asleep. Saturday, December 21st, 2013. Chapter 8. 4 missed calls, all from Seth. It was already noon, and Georgie was just leaving for work.
Her phone rang as soon as she plugged it into the car lighter.
Sorry, she said, answering it. I overslept.
Jesus, Georgie, Seth said. I was ready to call the police.
You were not.
Maybe I was. I was just about to drive all the way out to Calabasas looking for you. What the fuck?
I stayed at my mom's again. I'm sorry, I forgot to set the alarm.
That was a vast, vast oversimplification.
Georgie had woken up on her mom's couch a half hour ago with one of the pugs licking her face. Then she'd puked for 20 minutes. Then she'd spent another 10 trying to find clothes in Heather's room, nothing fit, before ending up in her mom's closet, settling for a pair of velour sweatpants and a low-cut t-shirt with rhinestones. Georgie hadn't even brushed her teeth. Didn't see the point. Her whole body already smelled like mint.
I'm coming, she told Seth. I'll bring lunch.
We already have lunch here. And half a script. It's fucking terrible. Hurry up.
I'm coming.
She ended the call and got on the 101. 4 missed calls, all from Seth. None from Neil. Georgie rubbed her thumb over the phone's touchscreen. She wasn't thinking about last night. Last night was something Georgie was not going to think about right now. It was a new morning. She'd call Neil and start over from here. She held the phone up over the steering wheel and thumbed through her recent calls, pressing an emergency contact. It rang.
Good day, sunshine.
Hey, Alice. It's Mommy.
I know, I heard your song. Also, there's a picture of you when you call, from Halloween. You're dressed like the Tin Man.
Neil had been the Cowardly Lion. Alice was Dorothy. Numi was Toto the Cat.
I need to talk to Daddy, Georgie said. Are you in the car?
I'm on my way to work.
You promised not to talk on the phone in the car. I'm telling Daddy.
I promised to wait until I was done merging. Where is Daddy?
I don't know.
He's not there?
No.
Where's Grandma?
I don't know.
Alice?
Yeah?
Please find Grandma.
But we're watching The Rescuers.
Pause it.
Grandma doesn't have paws.
You're only going to miss a few minutes. I'll tell you what happens.
Mommy, I don't want you to spoil it for me.
Alice, listen to my voice. Do I sound like I'm in the mood to debate this?
No.
Alice sounded hurt.
You're using your mean voice.
Go get Grandma. The phone fell. A second later, someone picked it up.
Don't use your mean voice, Mommy.
It was Numi, crying, undoubtedly fake crying. Numi almost never truly cried. She'd start fake crying long before she arrived at actual tears.
I'm not using my mean voice, Numi. How are you? I'm just so sad.
Don't be sad.
But you're using your mean voice and I don't like it.
Numi, Georgie said in what probably was her mean voice. I wasn't even talking to you. Calm down, for Christ's sake.
Georgie?
Margaret!
Is everything okay?
Yes, Georgie said. Is Neil around? I really, really need to talk to Neil.
He went to do some last-minute shopping for the girls.
Oh, Georgie said. I guess he didn't take his phone.
I guess not. Are you sure everything's okay?
Yeah, I just miss him. Them. Everybody. She closed her eyes, then quickly opened them. You and Paul. Her mother-in-law was quiet. Georgie decided to keep going. She wasn't sure what she was fishing for. I'm sorry the girls didn't get to know him like I did. Margaret took a breath.
Thank you, Georgie. And thank you for letting Neil bring them to Omaha. Since we lost Paul, well, this is the hardest time of year to be alone.
Of course, Georgie said, wiping her eyes with the heel of her thumb.
Just tell Neil I called.
She pressed end
and dropped the phone on the passenger seat. That sealed it. Georgie had lost her mind.
"Jesus Christ," Seth said when she walked into the room. His jaw dropped, probably just for effect. "Jesus H. Christ on 1,000 bicycles!"
Scotty shot Diet Coke through his nose.
"Oh, fuck," he said. "Oh, God, it burns."
"Can we just—" Georgie tried.
"What happened to you?"
Seth was out of his chair and circling her. "You look like Britney Spears back when she was dating backup dancers and walking around gas stations barefoot."
"I borrowed some of my mom's clothes. I didn't think you'd want me to waste another hour going home to change."
"Or shower," Seth said, looking at her hair.
"Those are your mom's clothes?"
Scotty asked.
"She's a free spirit," Georgie said. "We're working now, right? I'm here and we're working."
"There's something green on your face," Seth said, touching her chin.
"It's sticky."
Georgie jerked away, finding her seat at the long conference table. Scotty went back to his lunch.
"Is this what happens when Neil's out of town? No wonder he keeps you on such a short leash."
"I'm not on a leash," Georgie said. "I'm married." Seth shoved a foam container in front of her. Georgie opened it. Soggy Korean tacos. She waited a second to figure out whether she was more sick or more hungry.
More hungry.
Seth handed her a fork.
"You okay?"
"Fine. Just show me what you have so far."
"Not fine. Completely not fine." "I should have told you. I did tell you. I said, I can't do this anymore. I said, I love you, but I'm not sure it's enough. I'm not sure it will ever be enough. I said, I don't want to live like this, Georgie. Remember?"
It made sense, really. If Georgie was going to have a delusional, paranoid, nervous breakdown about her husband leaving her, it made sense that she'd flash back to the one time Neil actually had left her. Sort of left her. Before they were married. It was Christmas break, their senior year, and they'd gone to some party, some TV party that seemed really important at the time. Seth was already working on a Fox sitcom, and he wanted Georgie to meet all the other writers on the show. The star was even supposed to be there. It was just a party in somebody's backyard, with a pool and beer and Christmas lights threaded through the lemon trees. Neil spent the whole night standing next to the fence and refusing to talk to anybody, refusing on principle, as if making small talk, as if being polite, would be too much of a concession to Seth, to California, to the fact that Georgie was going to get a job like this with these sorts of people, and Neil would be along for the ride. So he stood by the fence with the cheapest beer available and deadbolted his jaw into place. Georgie was so infuriated by this little sit-in, she made sure she and Neil were some of the last people to leave. She met and talked to all of Seth's new work friends. She played her part in the Seth and Georgie show. It was a good part. Georgie got most of the punchlines. She made everyone there love her. And then she got into Neil's worn-out Saturn, and he drove her to her mom's house. And he told her he was done.
"I can't do this anymore," he said. "I love you," he said. "But I'm not sure it's enough, and I'm not sure it'll ever be enough."
He said,
"I don't want to live like this, Georgie."
And the next morning, he'd left for Omaha without her. Georgie didn't hear from Neil that whole week. She thought they were over. She thought that maybe he was right, that they should be over. And then, on Christmas morning, in 1998, Neil was there at her front door, down on one knee on the green indoor-outdoor carpeting, holding his great-aunt's wedding ring. He asked Georgie to marry him.
I love you, he said. I love you more than I hate everything else.
And Georgie had laughed because only Neil would think that was a romantic thing to say. Then she said yes.
Georgie plugged her cell phone into her laptop and made sure the ringer volume was turned all the way up. What are you doing? Seth asked. No cell phones in the writer's room, remember? That's your rule.
We're not even officially here, Georgie said.
You're not even unofficially here, he snapped back at her.
I'm sorry, I have a lot on my mind.
Right, me too. 4 scripts, remember?